that's got all power in their hands to deliver you out of what that situation. This boy was in a terrible fix, wasn't it? But look what they do, look what they do, look what they do. 15 and last. They come to Jesus. And see him.
We hope that you were inspired, encouraged, and led to a deeper walk with God with host pastor Reverend Eugene Stevenson. New Jerusalem is located at 708 University Street in Alexandria. Service times are Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and Wednesday Bible study is at 5 p.m. New Beulah Baptist Church is located at 908 Carlos Street in Boyce, Louisiana, and service times are every second and fourth Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Until the next time, may God bless you and keep you is our prayer.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Good morning. On behalf of our pastor, Superintendent Maurice Johnson, we welcome you to the Johnson Temple Church of God in Christ, Saturday morning broadcast on KAYT. As a community announcement, the Johnson Temple Feeding the Hungry program will resume on Wednesday, February the 11th, from 11:30 a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. In addition to receiving a hot meal, perishable and non-perishable food items are available for individuals in need. The public is invited and volunteers are welcome. For more information, please call the church at 337-239-3845. In today's broadcast, you will hear an uplifting message from Elder John Owens. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.
But God is looking, still looking, yet looking. Every day he's looking for workers in his vineyard. But he's looking for workers that are willing to work, that don't mind putting their hands to the plow and working out their soul salvation with fear and trembling. That's the kind of workers that God is looking for. As we look at the condition, I tell you, as you look at these conditions, you should mind working in God's vineyard. Of the condition of today, even though, my brothers and sisters, we are striving, praying, and supplication, isn't that right? Every one of us that are a child of God are praying. If you're not praying, you need to start praying. We are praying, and supplication means that we're bombarding God. We're consistent in what we are praying about, and every day, on the line from Monday through Saturday, Elder Taylor, Missionary Taylor, and all the prayer warriors are on that prayer line praying. Amen? Because we want to see a change. And we know that the only way that there will be a change is that we must pray. Somebody help me say, we must pray. We must pray sincere that God will hear and answer our prayer. We know that there is so much more God wants to do. Isn't that right? There's so much more that God wants to do. He has done great things. Isn't that right? But there's more that God desires to do. Well, he needs workers in his vineyard to be able to do that. You see, because Jesus came on the scene, is that right? He died on that cross. He's risen on the third day, and he's ascended into heaven, sitting on the right hand of power. Now God needs you and I to work in this vineyard. He needs your hands. He needs your feet. He needs your eyes. He needs your mouth to work in his vineyard. I got anybody going to pray with me this morning? God needs more workers in his vineyard. The Bible says the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We can do greater works for the kingdom of God, we can do greater works for the kingdom of God. There's no limit to what God can do through you. Do you believe that? There's no limit to what God can do through you, if you would only allow him to work in your life. John 14 and 12 said, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus go on to tell us in Mark 16 and 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There's more work for us to do. Amen. When we think about God's vineyard is everywhere we go. You see, it don't necessarily have to be in the church house. You don't necessarily have to be behind this pulpit in order to do the work of ministry. You see, we can do work no matter where we find ourselves. In Market Basket, in Walmart, in the doctor's office, in the lawyer's office, in the courtroom, in the hospital. We can find ourselves doing the work of ministry if we only allow the Lord to use us. Amen. Sometimes Christians think when Jesus was talking about to the disciples about working in the vineyard, many of them had in mind that they thought about only working in the church house. That's not true. See, anywhere we find ourselves, we can work for God. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know that everywhere God allow your feet to go, we can find ways to do work of ministry. You see, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is always working. It's always moving. He is always trying to get us to move and to work in him on the behalf of God. The Holy Spirit is always moving. And the Holy Spirit is always trying to move us to do the will of God. Our kingdom work starts in our home. God has commissioned us to raise our children and to love our wife and to love our husband and to love with the love of God. And then, somebody say then. And then we can go out and tell a dying world about Jesus and all that he has done for you. How he picked you up. How he turned you around. How he made ways out of no ways for you. But you can't do that until you start at your own household. I hope I'm preaching to somebody this morning. Amen. Matthew 21 through 10, Jesus tell the story to his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And the landowner agreed to the labor for a penny a day. You see what that scripture was saying to me is that Jesus is saying that I own the kingdom. Whatever God tells you to do, you must do it. Whatever God tells you to go, you must go. Whatever God tells you to say, you must say it. You see, you're not your own. I hope I have some prayers in this house. You're not your own. You have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 says, tells us we are not our own, for we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God has hired many workers in his vineyard. He has hired many workers in his vineyard. he hired Noah to work in his vineyard. God saw that the world had gotten wicked. God said to Noah, I'm going to destroy the whole world by flood it with the water. God told Noah, I want you to build me an ark because it's going to rain. God gave Noah specific instruction. You see, when God has a job for you and I, he don't leave us to guess how he wants us to do it. You see, he gives us specific instructions on how he wants it to be carried out. In other words, you just can't go on your own and do what you want to do. When you're working in God's vineyard, you got to do just like God wants you to do it. I'm trying to stay calm in this house. And see, God gave Noah specific instruction on the kind of animals that should come into the ark. See, Noah wasn't able to just go out there and get anything. He had specific animals which was going to arrive in the ark. And Noah had to follow those instructions. Noah was around 480 years old when he started building the ark. You can't tell me that you're too old to get started in ministry. You can't use that excuse. You're not too old. I don't see nobody in this house that's over 100 years old. But the Bible said that God called Noah at 480 years old to build the ark. He said, God told Noah, said, it's going to rain. Now, I want you to know that it hadn't rained. It hadn't rained. So God was making, causing Noah to do a tremendous job. You see, sometimes people don't see what God is trying to tell you to do. Sometimes they don't understand when you're working in God's vineyard what God is trying to tell you to do. It hadn't rained. It had never rained from on heaven on high. All it had was a little moss that come up. And God said to Noah, it's going to rain. Noah spent 120 years. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you working over a week? Can you imagine you working over a month in God's vineyard? Can you imagine you working a month on the thing that God has asked you to do? Noah worked 120 years. When Noah entered into the ark, he was 600 years old. My God, my God, my God. But Noah his wife, his three sons and his son's wife entered into the ark. Only 8 souls were saved. You see, when you're working in God's vineyard, it will pay off. Nobody, no other family was able to enter into that ark but Noah and his family. Not only was Noah able to save his own soul, I want you to get this now. Not only was Noah able to save his own soul, but he was able to save his whole entire family. When you're working in God's vineyard, it will pay off. The Bible said that Noah and his whole entire family entered into the ark, and they were saved. And when Noah and his family entered into the ark, the doors was closed. They have a son said that they knocked on the window and they knocked on the door. But Noah couldn't let them in because Noah did not have the key. Working in God's vineyard will pay off. The Bible says that God called Abraham into his vineyard to work. God told Abraham to leave his father's house and go to a land that I show you, and I will make you, watch this, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and I will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treat you with contempt, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Abraham was called by God, and God promised him that when you're working in my vineyard, I'm going to bless you. Not only am I going to bless you, but I'm going to bless everybody that blesses you. And not only am I going to bless everybody that's going to bless you, but I'm going to curse everybody that come against you. In other words, there's no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Abraham trust God as he worked in God's vineyard. The Bible says that against all hope, Abraham hoped, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it began, said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Now, this is the promise of God, because Abraham was willing to work in the vineyard. And God and Abraham did not faint in his faith in God, even though his body had passed the year of childbirth. Not only was he faithful because he was past the year, but his wife Sarah was too old to have a child. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. You know, when you believe, you get excited, don't you? When you believe something, you get excited about it, don't you? Abraham believed God so much that he began to magnify the name of the Lord. Does anybody ever just get to thinking about the goodness of God and just getting to praise him, getting to glorify him, getting to magnify him of what you expected God to do for you? Or do you wait to see if it's going to happen? See, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You might not see it, but you ought to praise him anyhow. You might not feel it, but you ought to praise him anyhow. You ought to give God some praise right there. Thank you, Lord. God being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Abraham was persuaded. I want y'all to get this. Abraham was persuaded. Even though his body was old, even though Sarah's body was old, Abraham was persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's the attitude that we gotta have. We got to be persuaded that God is able to do what he said he's going to do. If he ever promised you anything, we serve a God that is able. If he ever told you that he's going to do something for you, we serve a God that is able. If he ever told you that he was going to heal your body, we serve a God that is able. If he ever told you he was going to bless you, we serve a God that is able. All we need to do is to learn to be persuaded. Woo! I don't know what we might have to face going forward, but I promise you, you got to be persuaded that our God is able to take care of us. Because somebody say, I belong to God. And if I belong to God, then God is responsible for taking care of me. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't have to worry about how I'm going to do what I'm going to do. All I got to do is depend on. Somebody help me say depend on. All I got to do is depend on the Lord. And he can make a way out of no way. He can build a bridge over troubled waters. Woo! That's the kind of God I serve. I'm almost through. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, wait. I am so glad God didn't stop calling workers into his vineyard. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad he didn't stop at Abraham. I'm glad he didn't stop at Noah. I'm glad he kept on calling workers in his vineyard. I'm glad to be a worker. Anybody in here want to wave your hand and say, I'm glad to be a worker in God's vineyard? Woo! You did that. Now the devil's mad, but I'm all right with that. Is you all right with that? I said the devil mad. But I'm all right with that. Because I serve a God that knows how to take care of me. I say I serve a God that knows how to take care of me. You might not be able to take care of me. You might not know how to take care of me. But I serve a God that knows how to take care of me. Why? Because I'm fully persuaded. If you don't leave here with nothing else, you ought to be fully persuaded that my God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that I can ask. I think I caught it to the power that worketh. I know you know that scripture. That worketh in me. It's in me. I don't have to go and borrow it from nobody, but it's in me. I don't have to ask nobody else to help me because it's in me. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I can wake up in the midnight hour because it's in me. I can get up early in the morning because it's in me. It worketh in me. I'm trying to finish this thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God called Paul and Silas to work in his vineyard. Sometimes when God calls us into his vineyard, it will cause us to have to endure some hardship. You know, it ain't always easy. And I don't care what the Christian people say. I don't care how many times they tell you this thing is easy, it ain't easy. That's why the Bible says you got to count up the cost. Didn't it say that? You got to count up the cost. Because you got to pay. Not for salvation, but you got to pay to live this Christian life. Because your body, your flesh don't want to do the thing that God commands of you to do. Isn't that right? Your flesh don't want to love your enemies. Your flesh don't want to pray for those that despitefully use you. Come on, come on. Come on. Don't act like you. I'm going to leave that alone. Woo! Sometimes working in God's vineyard will cause us to have to endure some hardship. Acts 16 and 16 said that Paul and Silas were stripped and beat with rods after they had been seriously flogged. They were thrust into the inner prison, watch this, and made their feet fast in shackles. Not only did they beat them, not only did they flog them, I mean, that means they hit them and they dragged the skin off of them. Isn't that right? And after they did that, they threw them in the inner, not just in the jail, huh? But they threw them on the inside. Wet on the deep end. Not only did they do that, but they shackled them. Only because they were preaching the word of God. Only because they were preaching the word of God. And don't you think that the devil don't have you have your name written down in his book? He don't like you either. He don't like you either. Throw them in prison. And all this was done because they was preaching the good news to the Macedonian people, which God led them to go through the Holy Spirit. God led them to go there. God will lead you to places where it ain't comfortable. I hope I'm preaching to you today. Sometimes you might not want to go there. But God, if God leads you there, then you need to go there. Because we're not our own no more. I wanted to bring that scripture back. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. That's what we say, ain't we? Only when it's comfortable, that's when we say it, right? Only when it's happiness, that's when we say it. But you got to say it when it get rough, when it get tough, when you don't understand, you still got to say, I've been bought with a price. I don't know why Paul and Silas waited until midnight to ask God to free them. You know, any time they could have got out of that jail, huh? You know that, don't you? Anytime Paul and Silas could have got out of that jail, huh? But the Bible says that it waited until midnight. And watch what happened. Watch what caused them to get out of the jailhouse. He said, when they started to pray. And when they started to sing. Now they could have started singing and praying, time they got thrown in the jailhouse, but they waited until midnight. Woo! Let me know. I don't know why we wait so long in our predicament, in our situation, before we give God praise to get out of there. But if you would learn to praise him, if you would just learn to praise him, I don't know what song they were singing. I don't know what word they were praying. But whatever song they were singing, whatever prayer they were praying, it got God's attention. Woo! I tell you, it got God's attention. And when it got God's attention, the Bible said, that was an earthquake. Things begin to rock. Woo! Things begin to reel. Hallelujah. Shackles begin to fall off of them. Hallelujah. They were loose in the jailhouse. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that the guards thought that they had left. But Paul said, no. Don't kill yourself. We are all here. We ain't going nowhere. Woo! Sometimes we have to learn how to worship God in the midst of our problem. Don't wait till the battle is over. Somebody say, shout now. Don't wait until your situation been solved. Somebody say, shout now. Don't wait until you get healed. Somebody say, shout now. Don't wait until the bank, when you pay your mortgage. Somebody say, shout now. I don't have to wait until the battle is over.